Mirsa, that's Inside Albania with me, Alice Taylor. This week, I have the whole episode dedicated to one special guest, the Prime Minister of Albania, Edi Rama. We will be discussing the Berlin Summit, which is set to take place in a couple of days, along with the current situation in Kosovo and Serbia, EU and enlargement, and a few national issues as well. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to this interview, how the tables have turned quite literally now after the podcast I did with you. So thank you and welcome to my podcast.
Yeah, you have been a very good guest. I hope to be a very good guest.
I'm sure you will be. So I want to start with the Berlin Summit because this is the big news at the moment. Now, it's just a couple of days away, and it's taking place in a context where we have the situation in Kosovo and Serbia. We have lots of problems with the EU enlargement. Is there going to be reform? Are we going to join by 2030? And also this criticism of the EU as well at the moment, in particular how they're handling the Kosovo-Serbia crisis. Are you concerned that maybe some of these issues are going to overshadow what's going to take place or what's supposed to take place on Monday?
No, because the way the summits of Berlin process function is very disciplined. It's the German way. So the program has been already drafted long ago. And the day is divided in several parts, and there will be one part for the bilateral issues and neighborly relations, which will be the leaders' lunch, while the focus in the sessions will be on the new economic growth plan for the Western Balkans that will be introduced by Ursula von der Leyen as the result of some long efforts we have done and some talks, substantial talks we have had with Brussels about the need to somehow start and get a bit out of this traditional way of dealing with the accession process, meaning also due to the situations, to the many crises that have hit Europe and us even worse because the member states have support from the European Union, and they can deal with some quite quite considerable cushions, and give some more instruments to the Western Balkan countries while they are not member states. Because so far the traditional accession talks process has been when you have started the negotiations, or when you are a candidate country, you get access in some tiny programs. And then to get access in the big programs, you have to be a member. But it can't be like that. So on one hand, some more financial support. On the other hand, some openings in the free market space, single market space, will help a lot. So this will be the main topic of the day, and I think that this will be a summit where deliverables will be quite important because of that.
And this,
and then we have also the opening doors for the College of Europe, the Albanian College of Europe, meaning it's the second branch College of Europe, a famous institution, opens a branch. First they opened in Poland, when Poland and others started accession talks, and now they'll open in Albania, and it will help not only Albanian scholars, but also scholars of the region, and even more broadly, to get access to a high level of European studies.
And I was going to ask, what can we expect concrete sort of to come out of the summit? And you mentioned funding as one of them and other opening doors. Can we be a bit more specific on what we hope to sort of have definitely agreed on after the summit?
We have to have definitely agreed after the summit, because we have seen drafts that are more and more, refined. But I think they are refining still, and for sure in some days we'll know exactly not only what it will be about, but we'll know exactly also how the mechanism will work.
And is a potential meeting between the leaders of Kosovo and Serbia on the table? Is it in the program?
Not that we have planned, not that I foresee. Everything can happen, because in such situations when there is also a kind of socializing of everyone, if there is a space, or if, for example, the leaders of Germany and France that will be here will want to talk to them, because they are also the co-authors of the French-German plan, which is on the table, maybe it can happen. But I don't really see it coming.
And what about with Greece? Obviously, the situation with Freddy Beleri is continuing to cause a bit of strain with Athens. They've talked about vetoing this, vetoing that. Do you think that there might be a chance to clear the air at this summit, or is it going to be another chapter of this Greek tragedy?
I believe I've done my part in terms of explaining this. It's not a debate between the government of Albania and the Greek government, as far as I see it, because it's about an issue that is not in the hands of the government of Albania, not in the hand of the executive branch, but it's in the hand of the justice system. So whatever one might say or can say or has said or will say, at the end will not really solve a problem that has to be solved in the path of justice.
So matters like whether he will be able to take his oath, whether there will be new elections, these are not going to be part of.
There are different theories about it, but the point is that anyhow this has to be defined by the court of law. Mm-hmm. So far we haven't seen any concrete development that would give indication how this can happen and how we can help, because we would really be keen to help, or we'd be absolutely open to reflect upon if this would have been something related to wrongdoing on our side or to misinterpretation on our side. But so far, I think this is not for our government to interfere with in this process. So I have no news.
Now, on the subject of enlargement, do you believe there's a real momentum for enlargement now, or do you see a scenario where the Western Balkans will be left standing still, and whether that's due to the fault of the EU not being as effective as they could be, or the member states? Do you see momentum? Are we moving forward? Are you hopeful?
Listen, first of all, I've always said before starting negotiations, and I didn't change nor my mind and either my narrative after starting the negotiations, that for us the negotiations are the most important step. And I've even said that as things stay are and the state of affairs is, we are not today a country that is ready to be a EU member by all parameters, as no one in the Western Balkans is ready to be member of the European Union by all parameters. So for us, the most important is to start accession talks, then to be members. Accession talks are very important fundamentally for our country and for the future, because it's an incredible know-how transfer of how you build institutions, how you create mechanisms, how you draft legislation that is fully in accordance to the large architecture of European Union legislation. And this is not something that you can invent. This is something that you should be taught. And on the other hand, all this brings added value to the country, because stronger the institutions are, stronger the mechanisms are, more modern the state is, better it goes everything for the citizens and for the economy and for the security in general. So talking about enlargement now, we can speculate, but it's not something for now. So we are focused on doing the best out of the accession talks and learning as much as we can, implementing as much as we can, excel in our homework duties. And then the time for membership will come. And when it will come, we'll have to discuss.
Now, we're potentially looking at a situation where Ukraine and Moldova could see EU accession negotiations started at the end of the year. This is something that's possibly on the table. Obviously, Albania and North Macedonia waited a very, very, very long time for this to happen. There is potentially a situation where these countries could be fast-tracked into EU membership, you know, for separate reasons. But how does this affect the Western Balkans, which, as you said, have been stagnant for a while? They've progress has been slow. Homework is still being done.
I don't have any problem with Ukraine getting candidate status, Moldova advancing, because at the end I know how it works. And on the other hand, it's good for them to have this, you know, boost of confidence, boost of support, more attention, more technical assistance. But I don't see in any shape or form that they can join before us. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Okay. Now, another topic which has been discussed a lot recently is talk of EU reform, things like the vote of unanimity, etc., you know, which causes problems, many problems within the EU, and also reform in the context of if the EU is going to enlarge and bring in multiple new members, things have to work a lot differently from the 27 member states that are there at the moment. But the very act of reform with the EU, you know, opening treaties, etc., is very complicated because a lot of member states are not interested in doing this. Do you see a need for reform? And then bearing in mind how difficult achieving this reform could be, how does that affect Albania's prospects?
Listen, the foundation of this European political community new format is part of it, is part of the need to create a larger room as a community of countries that thinks alike, that are developed democracies or developing democracies, that embrace all the fundamental principles and values of the European Union. And what, at least in our humble way and from our, let's say, modest angle, we are trying to push is exactly that. And what they are doing with the new with the growth plan for the Western Balkans goes in that direction. It's what I said before. You know, we should have something between the all as a member state and the, I wouldn't say nothing, but a bit more than nothing mm-hmm. as not a member state. And so the whole thing can be adjusted in a way that on one hand, the member states and especially the old and very well settled European member states are not nervous about exactly what you said, enlarging a table with more
newer democracies,
with more present countries, and more headaches when you want to get a vote, because Europe functions exactly with consensus. And on the other hand, this would not do any harm, on the contrary, to our countries that would somehow enter in a much deeper partnership with the European Union for the time being. And then the future, you know, is becoming more and more unpredictable. Unlike this Russian proverb says, you know, the future is bright and clear, is the past that is unpredictable. While with us in Europe and for the European Union and for a democratic world, the future is becoming more and more tricky. So yes. Let's focus on our daily work and let's think big about ourselves, about our country, and do the best to make Albania a proud member of the community. And then having a formal status or not having a formal status as a member state, it's not for now.
I mean, another question for you was going to be, do you see Albania joining the EU by 2030, as Charles Michel said? But it sounds to me like you're not fixed so much on a specific date of joining, but rather the process.
Listen, let be frank and let be, you know, realistic. Europe functions in a way that the next commission, the next council is based on elections, is based on changes. So Charles Michel is a fantastic president of the European Council, but he'll not be there next year. The commission as it is will not be there next year.
Does that worry you?
No, I'm saying. So, you know, first of all, there is not a decision that, okay, 2030. Secondly, others will come. This will be discussed. So it's good to hear that mm-hmm. 2030 might be a deadline. But, I'm...
You're not pinning your hopes on that date.
I have learned in the hard way that deadlines with the European Union are not something that you should really stick mm-hmm. Your hopes and your wishes, because they change mm-hmm. when it comes exactly to the relation with our countries, because for their functioning, it's another thing. We have been told many times, start accession, candidate country next year, and then candidate next year, and then it happened later. Mm-hmm. And then accession talks next year, and then it happened much later, while we have done our homework.
Yes.
So now that we are in accession talks, I'm not worried anymore, because it's important to do our homework. And if we do well our homework, we are a country that functions like a member state in terms of the standards here, in terms of the how people relate with the state, how state relates with people, how society works, how institutions deliver, and how economy develops. And then the formalization is not something that Charles Michel can decide, or that even all of them today can decide, because, you know, things can change.
I interviewed Odeta Barbalushi recently, and the message that she gave me was that all these regional cooperation initiatives that are going on act as sort of a a training ground for that eventual EU membership. I don't know if training ground is the right word, but to practice cooperation, facilitating.
But, you know, we have to do everything that is doable and everything that is in our hands. Mm-hmm. And this is also in our hands. A bit less than our home country, but still is in our hands, meaning that there is no impediment from the 27 to create in the Western Balkans a space that functions like in the space of the 27. And this would help a lot in many ways. And this would make us much more ready when we join. So Odeta is the expert here and I'm not, but this is the point. So it's not a training, it's a practical work that brings practical benefits, and we should work for it.
Lays
and
the groundwork for.
We should work for it. Mm-hmm. You know, it increases a lot,
yes,
the potential. So it increases a lot the capacity to unleash the potential of our, mm-hmm, economy. We are very small as markets, and being cut from the European single market, from the European labor market, and staying, you know, in our tiny spaces, it's far from being a wise thing to do, and it's far from being a looking forward way. While enlarging our space by joining with the others, like you did, we can get more benefits.
Yes.
And by being one space that is integrated economically, is integrated in way of treating exports, imports, is integrated with no non-tariff barriers and so on,
mm-hmm,
would help a lot.
Good. I wanted to ask briefly as well, the Franco-German proposal recently for this reform and this idea of sort of having different groups of membership at different levels, etc. What's your view on this?
I mean, I like it.
Yes.
Yes.
Which group do you want to be?
No, but it's not. No, no, but it's not. This is not like which group you want to be. This is starting to structure this big European, mm-hmm, political community in several spaces, and so you are all together when it comes to security, when it comes to climate change, when it comes to this and that. And then you are not together when it comes to, let's say, currency, when it comes, mm-hmm, to Schengen, when it comes to, and then this is a flexible, it's not something that is once and forever. So it's much more. So we are together. We are much more together than now if we enter in one space. So it's like entering from the courtyard to the living room. And of course, you know, they might have larger, you know, private rooms, they might have larger offices, but we are under the same roof,
mm-hmm,
all the way and not separate. And we would not be any more victims of this separation like we were during COVID or like we were during the big energy prices rise and so on. So.
Okay, now the next topic I want to move on to is one that can't be avoided, is the situation between Kosovo and Serbia, has given many of us, myself included, many sleepless nights and early mornings trying to keep up with it. I interviewed, as I mentioned before we started, the foreign minister of Kosovo a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her about your suggestion of sort of elevating the dialogue to more of a conference sort of level. And her reaction was, this is a dangerous idea. She was not a fan of it. And I mean, similarly, Kurti before has said, you know, your suggestion for the Association of Serb Municipalities was not looked on very favorably. But you're trying to offer solutions or ideas. How do you deal with this sort of quite public rebuff?
Listen, I'm not really trying to be the smart here. I'm sure that many others, them included, can be smarter. And of course they are. But In the same time, I have a problem with fooling the people and myself. So we can't fool ourselves. What we have done so far as Albanian community, let's say, being in Albania, being in Kosovo, being in North Macedonia big time, being in Montenegro, has taught us very clearly that we have achieved what we have achieved by being very clear on which side we are, with whom we collaborate very closely, and what is our way to upgrade, you know, the Albanian factor, if I I say, if I can use this word, being in within national states and also in the whole Western Balkan. And the way is very clear, a way of working and tirelessly for peace, a way of looking towards the future and not being hostage of the past, a way of not lecturing our big friends and allies about how they should see the world, having a very constructive cooperation with them and sticking with them all the way. This is how we have achieved it so far. And we have never attacked anyone. We have never provoked any war in our history. And we have never won until we, because of many reasons, got to be with the strongest and the best. So what is here to be somehow puzzled or to, and the most important is Serbia has lost the war. Kosovo has won the war. And history shows that who has lost the war is not interested in peace as much as who has won the war. And by the way, the Association of Serbian Municipalities is not nor my idea, and either my proposal or my whatever is there and is becoming more and more like an impediment to go further. And this impediment is harming more the credibility and the reputation of Kosovo in the eyes of our Euro-Atlantic community than Serbia. So the idea of the conference is simply to bring what is happening already, because I don't see where is the difference. What is happening already in the never-ending dialogue, two men with two men.
Very little progress.
In Brussels, in totally another level with the participation of all the big shots and with the same agenda, with the same goal, but with a push to sort it out. And I don't know where is the
need for this.
Where is the terrible part of it? I don't get it.
The need for this push with the big shots, as you say, do you think that comes from the fact that we've seen very little progress with the EU-led dialogue,
it's not
things have escalated, not at the fault of Kosovo.
It's not that we have seen a little progress. It's that, as you said, it's in the meantime, things are not getting better in the north of Kosovo. Things are getting more tense, more dangerous, and this doesn't help. Maybe Serbia can be more can be interested to see things getting nowhere and to keep kind of let's say frozen conflict where there are things happening and so on. But the Kosovo side should be the most uninterested party in this for that. So the North Calm on the table, the French general plan is the best deal that could happen for Kosovo, because it's a de facto recognition, it's a leave and let leave thing, and opens the way for recognitions from the others. Why you don't push for it? Mm-hmm. Why you don't insist for it? Why you are not the one that screams to everyone, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it? And what is the point of entering in all this? I don't get it. Again, I'm not as smart as them.
You mentioned the phrase frozen conflict. Do you think Serbia really have an interest in progressing? Because look at the recent agreement. Serbia won't sign. And Vučić goes to Brussels and he says, you know, we want to move forward. We want to. And the ultimate goal is mutual recognition. He goes back to Belgrade and says, I will never recognize Kosovo.
And what happened at the same time all this time? Who won and lost points in the bigger room?
Kosovo.
Why?
Why? They're stubborn.
This is what I'm saying. So,
but should they be stubborn as the victim?
Listen, in politics, and in sorting out something that is in your interest, is never a good idea to start by digging in the mind of the other. Mm-hmm. Is he really interested? Is he really wanting this? Is he maybe? Not, maybe not. And if we would take away the big powers that are around the table and that are with us, there and would imagine this dialogue and this effort for peace happening only between Serbia and Kosovo, maybe Serbia not only would not have sat in the table, but would have gone for something crazy, maybe. But the reality is that we have this strong support to get in a major step away from where we are towards the final recognition. And we are the ones that play around it. Why? Mm-hmm. What's the point?
But it's like the Association of Serb Municipalities.
So the question is not, are they really interested? The question is, are we really interested or are we not? Maybe they are not really interested completely. I am not in their mind, but I respect a lot their brains, and I think that they understand that they are very interested to close it one and forever, and so they should. Then how you close it? By losing your focus and by creating situations, or by helping situations to be created in a way that then you are blocked, or by trying to calm everything, by trying to give something small to get the big thing. I think the second is the way. This is not rocket science. This is common sense.
Now, the Association of Serb Municipalities, when we look at that in the context of what happened on the 24th of September, where we now have the government in Pristina saying it was an attempt to annex the north, etc. I feel that gives this association...
To annex?
Yes, this is... Yeah. That they wanted to sort of take over and drive out the police or whatever. Does this not give this association a slightly more sinister context now?
Again.
Do you think Belgrade really cares about the interests of Serbs in Kosovo, or this is something
again,
different?
Again, Serbia has lost the war. And Serbia has no room for imagining a military revenge, a military retake, whatever. This is gone once and forever. Kosovo has been recognized by a community of countries that would never let it go back. Never. Whatever happens. So this is point one. Point two is the association, if it's created within the constitutional frame of the Republic of Kosovo and is the result of an agreement based on that, it will not be a space for people coming with weapons and saying, I'm the member of association. It will be a space for
the people,
the communes, to have some self-management, to have some support also from Belgrade. Why not? Why not? We have communes in the south, east and south that are Greek minority communes, and we'd be more than happy if Greece would support them even financially. What? Why not?
Yes.
So, you know, it's very important to see the future and to do everything to bring the future near, then to push the future by always thinking the past, the past, the past. The past is the past. And as one of the greatest guys I've not met personally, but I've listened very carefully, Desmond Tutu, he says, if you want peace, you have not to talk with your friends, you have to talk your enemy. And with your enemy. And there are, you know, people that have gone through it, they have left for us fantastic, clear, simple lessons. Abraham Lincoln says, if you want to destroy the enemy, make peace. And then you have a partner.
Now, I want to talk about the EU and their approach to this problem. Now, there is no doubt that Kurti has dug his heels in, and you've expressed your thoughts
on that.
Listen,
I'm going to tell you a little anecdote. Maybe you have heard it before. When Bill Clinton came, we were having a dinner. And we were talking about Kosovo, and he's the liberator-in-chief of Kosovo, right? Very, very, very connected with Kosovo. And suddenly he says to me, Prime Minister, tell my Kosovo friends what I'm going to tell you. A few weeks before leaving the White House, I had on the table at the Oval Office the best agreement of peace between Israel and Palestine. Israelis said, we agree, we'll sign. Yasser Arafat said, I agree, I'll sign. And so he said, I was, you know,
happy.
Happy, and I asked my people to write down all the orders I had to give for organizing the big event that was a ceremony that was in wait for decades. And then the day after, Yasser Arafat calls me and says, Mr. President, nobody has done as much as you for Palestine, and this is the best agreement possible, but I can't sign it. And Clinton said to him, what are you talking about? Are you aware that this golden opportunity may not come for who knows how many time again on your table? He said, I know, but I won't sign. and look. And when we met, it was not today. Mm-hmm. Look today.
Yes.
Look what a tragedy, with what horrific proportions, has been unfolding in years because of the lack of courage and bravery of a leader to give an end to it.
Mm-hmm. Digging their heels in. And these are the consequences.
So I'm not saying that it will go like this, mm-hmm. God forbid, but I'm saying that, you know, the way the big powers deal with situations and the way history has taught us about this is very important, mm-hmm. to be very careful what we ask for and what we refuse, because this plan, I could understand Serbia being very, you know, hesitant, sabotaging, and which may will come out when if Kosovo
comes to actually
be,
signing something,
if Kosovo will be full in.
Mm-hmm.
But why to give to Serbia this never-ending alibi? Oh, they don't want this. Oh, they don't want that. No. Mm. This is.
But do you think the EU have really been completely fair in their approach to this?
Listen, we had a very heated debate, discussion, when this statement, EU statement came out, after the criminal aggression in the north, and it was all about Kosovo. All about Kosovo. They explained, yeah, but the procedure of the European Union Council is like that, and this has been approved before, so got the okay of 27 before these events happened, so we have to issue it.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, yes, but issue it with another statement,
yes,
that will condemn what happened, will condemn the Belgrade behavior about declaring this
day of mourning,
unjustifiable day of mourning, unjustifiable, and with and you know, and with measures,
mm-hmm.
concrete measures, not just the condemning word, also towards Serbia. They said it can't be done because of timing, because of it needs a lot of time to get the declaration, so we can start now. But it's okay, we are not going to align. And for the first time in 10 years, mm-hmm. we didn't align with a new statement. So I would not say that EU has been unfair. I would say that that unfortunately, Kosovo side has given them a lot of reasons to be more harsh in their stance, while Serbia has played much more let's say you know, intelligently the game, which is just going on. It's not over. So maybe if the game will be near to be over, Serbia will get crazy. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot work on these assumptions. We have to work on our basic interests. And our basic interests, strategic interests, the main interest is
peace,
to open the way to form the full international subjectivity of Kosovo. And to open the way for Kosovo to be fully, finally recognized. And we have to do everything it is in our hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then if things that are not in our hand, that are in Serbian hand, will not go in our way, we have to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Because, thanks God, we are not alone. And there is no chance that we are in a fight. I mean, in a big conflict, because then we will be all in, but will not be alone. So we have, and when I say we, I say the Albanian factor. And Kosovo, in this case, has a very important advantage in this, and is losing this advantage day by day by day by day by day.
I think patience is wearing thin with that, you know? And then when something like what happened in the north happened.
Listen, I'm sure you are much more informed about the Northern Ireland peace, peace agreement. It was crazy. And it was not easy. And everyone...
It's still a struggle today.
And everyone made an extra mile and they reached it. Mm-hmm. We have seen other places. So and what frustrates me and what makes me sometimes, ask myself, what is happening? Are these people fooling the people or are fooling themselves or what? Because as a matter of fact, we have started in this, and we say we the Albanians in Kosovo, we the representatives of Albania and Kosovo, started in a very, very important strategic advantage. And we are, Kosovo is not keeping the advantage, has lost a lot of the advantage and has weakened its position in the international table, in the chess game.
I have to ask directly, do you think the Serbian state had a hand or were aware of what was happening or what was going to happen in northern Kosovo?
It's not about what one thinks, because what one thinks is always good to be expressed when it is an opinion. But when what one thinks when it is about facts, it's always not helpful to be expressed. What is true is that everyone, me included, has doubts. That's why a very thorough investigation is needed. That's why what I would have expected from the Serbian president that day was to say, this is unacceptable.
To denounce it.
The killing of a policeman is absolutely not acceptable. And I immediately called for EU, US, who are the parties that are engaged in dialogue, to join a thorough investigation. And everyone that will come out involved in this, being everywhere, will be punished. Mm-hmm. This is what has to go on. And an investigation is very important, because as much as we'll not have an investigation, everything will be jeopardized, and every the process will be undermined, because every side will speculate on and naturally so on what happened. No, put the facts on the table, and this is how it works.
Let's see what comes out of it. I think there's a lot more political will needed before we really understand what happened
it's an independent investigation from the interested parties there. To do it. And of course, in this case, it's not the Kosovo government or Kosovo state that is the problem, because I'm sure they are ready to give everything they have, but it's the Serbian government, the Serbian state, that has to be completely in a disposal of the investigation.
Mm-hmm. Now, away from this very tough subject and my last few questions, which are a bit lighter, you might be relieved to know. You're now in your third mandate as Prime Minister.
If I count.
Are you going to run for a fourth?
I've never thought in terms of the next mandate. I think only in terms of what's next to be done in the mandate I'm having. So I'm not... You know, I never take this kind of decisions beforehand because life has taught me, sometimes in a hard way, sometimes in the most gracious way, that better have a vision and a destination, but plan and work step by step by step by step, because, you know, with what's going on around, with what's going on, we never know. But even without going on and around, you never know.
Well, this took the wind out of the sails of my next question, which was going to be, after you're done being Prime Minister of Albania, because, and I ask this because I see how you speak internationally at the EU, at the UN recently, you went viral with your comments with the Russian delegation, which were fantastic. Do you have your sights set eventually outside of Albania?
It was the luck of the luck. It was the, yeah, it was somehow, you know, all the stars became together because the subject was very, very important for everybody. The players were there in the room. So, yeah, I would never, ever otherwise get, and Albania would never, ever otherwise get in all the media news of the world. So this was great for Albania. This was fantastic for the name of Albania. But
would you like to work one day more internationally?
Listen, Alice. You know, when I started this journey, I didn't have all my hairs, but I had very few white hairs. So as you see now, to find a black hair in my scalp and around my face is mission impossible. So time goes by, and I every day I enter in a bigger debt with my family, with my kids, with my friends, that. With my many things, and there is life also beyond politics. So no, you know, again,
but
you know,
never say never.
Never say never, because again, life is what happens when you are making out plans. But if for in this, I can say, unlike the previous question, I can say no. Once this this duty is over, I want to be the third version of Eddie Rama. So once I was in.
To pay,
a sportsman and artist, then the third version would be something completely else. I have some ideas, but will not be daily politics, will not be anything like that. It will be something completely else, and I think it's time to. It will be. I hope. I wish I'll have the time to do something that again will involve people, but completely out of this game.
Next, congratulations on Albania's election to the United Nations Human Rights Council.
It's amazing, no?
It is. It's brilliant.
It's the third big thing we are getting in the international stage, and it's fantastic. And we got quite reported number of votes we were elected together with Bulgaria, who was on it since 2 years, working and lobbying and so on, and we let Russia behind. So it was a double satisfaction.
So congratulations on that. Now, I did promise these would be easier questions, but I do want to talk very briefly about the Hamas-Israel situation. Obviously, Albania has been very vocal in its support for Israel. But have you spoken with the Palestinian ambassador here? And have there been any exchanges of words about what's going on, you know,
no idea.
There? Will there be?
I don't know. She's a very, very nice woman. Mm-hmm. And I have a great respect for her, but she didn't ask to meet me. And if she would ask, I would see her with pleasure. But otherwise, for sure, I stand fully with Israel, because now it's too long to explain, but basically, you know, terror and terrorism can never, ever be normalized by saying, no. And yes, but. There is no yes, but on this. And when one starts entering in this from different angles, by different places, should never forget these people fought for thousands of years to get a home and to be back in their home. Just so. And of course, on the other hand, absolutely no way to be back in the home and without finding a solution for also for the others to have their part, you know, in that space and to have their home, by no doubt. But there is no chance that this can be chances because we are a free speech world, but. To relativize it, to normalize it, to go on the other extreme, to say, but this and that. No, there's not. The only way to solve conflicts, it's to work hard to get peace.
Prime Minister, thank you very much. You're a better guest than me, I think.
Thank you.
That's all for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can catch Inside Albania on Euronews Albania every Saturday at 5 o'clock. You can watch it on our YouTube channel, or you can tune in at leisure on all major podcasting platforms such as Spotify, Google, and Apple. Until next week, Miro Pavshin.